101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty, Aaron on Vacation. Louis R. Avalone graciously accepted my invitation to come in this morning. Thank you, first of all, for coming out.
It is always a pleasure.
We're always glad to have you here. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline from NLEP, North Louisiana Economic Partners, Justin Dixon joining us. Justin, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you jumping on with us. A lot of things I want to cover this morning. First of all, I've seen the trailers out in the parking lot at Libby Glass for the construction and demolition company. They've been parked there for a few weeks now, but is there movement? And what's the latest on Libby Glass?
Yeah, so they are parked there, and there is movement. We have been going through the abatement and remediation process of some of the things, environmental issues we needed to address.
Okay.
That should be finished up next month in August. Demo has already started in some of the back portion. You can't see it really from the interstate or from Juela.
Oh, okay.
But they've already taken down several 100,000 square feet.
Really?
And we were, yes. Getting cleaned up.
Okay.
And good things are happening there. You know, it's a long process to get all of that 100-year-old crud down.
Right.
But we, once we get through the remediation, then we will begin actively marketing it and start the process of backfilling it with a great company with great jobs.
So are you taking everything out, everything down? It's going to go all the way down to the slab or even dirt?
That is the intent.
Okay.
You know, in economic development, construction, everything changes every day. You know, if we had somebody to come in and say, hey, we want this portion and we'll bring you a couple hundred jobs, then we would certainly entertain that, right? But no, that is the intent, is to take it back down to, you know, proverbially a greenfield site.
Okay, and what is the size of that property? How much space is there actually?
So it is 54 acres. So it's a lot bigger than most people think.
It really
most
is.
Most of it is, yeah, most of it usable. And I go back to the reason that we did this.
Wow.
You know, it has all the utilities in place. It has industrial water, industrial wastewater, industrial gas. It has a rail spur in place already. It has industrial power. Power, you know, that's always the key driver in these major manufacturers. So we feel like we've got a jewel in the rough, and we're just trying to polish out some of that roughness.
We're talking with Justin Dixon, NLEP. Justin, what would you like to see ideally in that location?
Yeah, I would like to see manufacturing. And the reason being, those are great paying jobs. They usually have great benefits. And they usually do substantial investment, which prohibits them from leaving and going elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very similar, and I think we're going to touch on this in a little bit, but very similar to SLB and what they did out at the GM facility.
Yes.
You know, they're utilizing the asset out there, and we want somebody to come in and utilize these assets and grow in the Shreveport community.
You know, Justin, you come on the radio and you talk about all of these economic development projects with great detail. And I don't know that folks really understand the connection between North Louisiana Economic Partnership and these projects, because you do have a great deal of insight in terms of where these projects are, how they are progressing. What is the connection? What is North Louisiana Economic Partnership, and what is your connection to these projects?
Yeah, so we're the regional economic development organization for Northwest Louisiana. We cover 11 parishes from Lincoln Parish over to Caddo and down to Natchitoches, basically the top hook. And, you know, our mission is to recruit good paying jobs and capital investment into the area. And our board holds us accountable to. That's what I hold my team accountable to. And that's what we do every day when we get here. Because we're the regional economic development organization, many times these leads come to us. And so, you know, we're doing everything we can to win these real projects and put real jobs into the community.
And so you basically are connecting folks who may have some mutual interest, economic interest in our area.
Exactly. And, you know, we have multiple economic development organizations across the state, certainly across the region, and each one focuses on their entity, on their lane. And so our lane is, you know, the major projects, the large projects, the major impact projects. And that's what we do. And so, you know, like I said, every morning, every Monday morning, my team, we sit down at staff meeting, we look at the jobs and the capital investment that we've been associated with, and, you know, we see what we can do to push that number up.
Is Caddo Parish the hottest of the 11 parishes that you cover? And if so, what is the next hottest parish in that area?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, we're a regional economic development organization. When people fly in here, they don't see Caddo or Bossier. They see Louisiana. And frankly, a lot of times they're shocked when they realize we're 5.5 hours away from New Orleans, because that's what most people think when they hear Louisiana. But back to your question, each segment has its hot spot. You know, you go to Lincoln Parish, they've got some substantial things going on. You know, Mayor Walker's done some incredible stuff over there.
That's got to be the happiest man in Louisiana.
Oh, Mr. Bucky, right?
Yes.
You know, you can bring a million jobs, but you bring a Bucky and they'll give you a key to the city. But no, he's doing great, and he's creating that atmosphere for us to recruit over there, and we're having some success with it. You come over to Bossier. Bossier Parish is doing fantastic. You know, it was home to one of the data center sites that we announced, and construction is well underway there. And then you go down to Natchitoches, and we're working with them to get some new sites developed so that we could further recruit down there. And so, you know, but back to it, this is the hub where many of these people go to shop and come from out of state too. So as the economy goes here in Caddo, Bossier, Northwest Louisiana, so goes all of North Louisiana.
So we're talking with Justin Dixon, NLEP. Justin, back to Libby Glass real quickly. You said you're expecting this, what is it, some ecological abatement?
The remediation, yes. That's a, you know, every site that old, you know, has some issues that that you have to take care of, right?
And yeah, regulations were quite different back in 1930 than they are today, weren't they?
Quite different, quite different. Sometimes you wish they were back, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, yes, there's this normal cleanup you have to do with an industrial site, and we're going through that process, and we're with DEQ. And once we get that headed in the right direction and completed, then we will begin marketing it and hopefully land somebody that can do some great things in Northwest Louisiana.
When do you expect it to be back to a green 53 acres?
Well, not soon enough for me, I promise you that.
Or 54, yeah.
Yeah, it's a year-long process.
Okay.
From the day. I mean, that's a massive structure out there,
sure.
Massive steel, massive concrete. And so, you know, it's going to be with probably a year completely. But, you know, we will start. It's kind of like when you see some of these sites that the data centers went on. You know, you would never thought they were industrial site, and there were, you know, months of time that people had to do things like clearing and planning and designing. And so, you know, hopefully we'll get somebody that will design it with us as we complete that demo.
Do you have anybody in mind?
Always.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Can you hang with us? Because I want to talk about SLB when we get back. And you mentioned the data centers. I want to get an update on that.
Absolutely.
Justin Dixon in with Micah McCarty, Lewis Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keep.
Oh, more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Justin Dixon with the NLEP on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Lewis Avalone in for Aaron. Justin, let's move to the I think we spoke with William Bradford last week, and he mentioned almost offhand about that the old General Motors manufacturing plant is almost, at full capacity now?
It is. You make quite an amazing story.
That is amazing.
Once thriving in the community and created thousands of jobs and then sat basically empty for 12 years. In 2023, we worked for a project with SLB. Many people know them as Schlumberger. They announced 600 jobs. Last year, we announced an expansion of another 600. And today, they're at 1,500 employees. And these are $60,000-plus-a-year jobs with full benefits. And they have 3.1 million of the 3.4 million square feet that it makes up. And they are making digital equipment for data centers. And so we are very excited to have them here. They continue to grow. We expect them to be close to 2,000 employees by the end of this year, with the potential to continue to grow after that. So quite the success story.
So, Justin, I know this is maybe a more complicated question than I may put it, but what do you attribute to all of the economic activity other than the hard work of you and your team? But what do you, is there one single event or other quality that you would attribute to everything that is going on in our region right now?
I'm sure there's a pebble that hit the lake somewhere. I personally think that we finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired. A lot of the reasons I came here were the assets that were in place and been in place for years. Sometimes you just got to get in the game, right? And so part of it's getting in the game. I think we've had a lot of support from all of our elected officials across our region. I think Governor Landry has totally changed the game in putting incentives in place that not only recruit companies here, but also benefit the taxpayers. Case in point, the Meta deal. I'll talk about it, even though it's a competitor of mine. He spearheaded the incentive that got them to come and land in North Louisiana. And because of that.
And that's in Northeast Louisiana.
Correct.
Yes,
correct.
Right.
And, just for those keeping score at home, their original announcement was $10 billion and Amazon's was $12 billion over here with Stack. So, but not that I'm competitive, right?
I think they're at $52 billion.
That was announced 2 years ago, Lou, so give us some time, right?
Yeah.
We're early on. We're
exactly,
early on.
Exactly.
But you bring up a great point. I think we have a chance to expand here, too. And we have a chance for our teachers to be benefiting from multiple thousands of dollars in additional pay. This is an incredible opportunity for us across all of North Louisiana to build with today's technology and benefit from it.
Well, let's talk about that's Meta in East Louisiana, Northeast Louisiana. But here we've got AWS coming in, Amazon with three facilities.
Correct.
The West Shreveport is going through a little bit of legal wrangling. Where are we on that?
Yeah, so we went through the major hurdle, I believe, and that was when the local judge ruled that the city had done everything according to rule of law, and I believe that they are getting closer and closer to getting some final plans in place. Remember, the $12 billion, Lewis, keep this on your tally also, that we announced was just for the two sites, one in North Caddo and one in North Bossier. We haven't announced the one in Shreveport yet. So, stand by on that.
I will. Hold on. Just writing that down to carry the two, add the one.
Hey, don't take notes. Don't take notes. Then they'll be accountable.
So, when do you expect them to start turning dirt then?
I don't know. Still things that are being worked out. But I would imagine in the coming weeks, if not months, you'll hear some great news there.
And that's three facilities for Amazon. Yeah.
And let me touch on one, if I could, real quick, that, the Caddo Parish, when I went out there and we announced $6 billion, over half of those subcontractors that have been awarded, and there'll be plenty more to come, But over half of them that have been awarded the jobs and works up there are from Shreveport. They're on Wicker Construction. They're Hargrove Roofing. They're Fire Tech. Fitzgerald, you know, now Harris. Builder Supply. These are all longtime staples, large subcontractors in the area that employ hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are getting these jobs, many of which have been doing work elsewhere outside of the region that are now able to bring those people back and work on these data centers inside the Northwest Louisiana region. So it's an incredible thing we've got going on here.
I could spend the whole hour talking with you. Justin, thanks so much for joining us. That's great news, and we will stay in touch.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys. You have a great week.
You too. Thank you so much. Justin Dixon, NLEP, Mike and McCarty, Lewis in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, we've got dangerous heat. In fact, we're going to talk with Michael Corbin from SWEPCO after the news top of the hour, as well as Shelley Regal. Shreveport set up cooling stations. Richard Dwelling from the Weather Channel gave us an update on these dangerous temps. And Bertha, that's coming up just after the break. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
With more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Aaron on vacation, Lewis R. Avalone in for Aaron, and on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline right now in preparation for this dangerous heat that we've got on our way. Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel joining us. Richard, good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. Looks like this week we're starting in the triple digits. Tell us what the pattern is looking like.
Well, you know, the pattern is pretty much, it's holding strong. I mean, this is definitely summertime weather for us here. Temperatures today up into the upper 90s, flirting with 100 degrees this afternoon. And, of course, you factor in the humidity. You're talking about heat index values, 105 to 110. And we do have that heat advisory up for today. And it really doesn't show like it's going to change very much here as we move on into tomorrow and Wednesday. Looks like temperatures are going to range anywhere between 100 and 104, and overnight lows at night between 78 and 82, so not cooling off much at night. So we're going to be dealing with this heat that's going to stay with us through midweek. And then depending on what happens with Tropical Depression number 2, where we may get some of the fringe effects later this week, that may actually help to bring the temperatures down. Our forecast kind of leaning that way right now. Instead of dealing with these temperatures in the upper 90s and triple digits, they fall back into the mid-90s Thursday through Saturday. So we may actually see the tropical system kind of help to ventilate the air just a little bit and give us a little bit slightly cooler temperatures. But, you know, it's going to depend a lot on what's going to happen with this tropical depression eventually coming Bertha later today.
Will it be Tropical Storm Bertha or...
Yeah, it looks like that's probably going to be the case. I mean, you know, all indications are there that this is going to strengthen into a tropical storm. Shear is expected to relax a little bit later on today. Tropical storm watches are up for the Florida Panhandle right now, stretching all the way over to the Mississippi-Alabama border. And they say that those could be extended further to the west, eventually getting areas across the Louisiana coast, especially from probably the mouth of the Mississippi River up to New Orleans and on over to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, where watches could go up a little bit later on today as the system just slowly plugs along to the west.
Well, I'm looking at the Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel. I'm looking at the extended forecast, and there is no significant rain whatsoever for the next several days. So do you expect Bertha to affect us very much here in Shreveport-Bossier?
I think, you know, the I-20 corridor may be where the cutoff line is for exactly where we're going to see precipitation. I think southern parishes have the better chances of seeing some shower activity out of this. But it's just going to depend on exactly what the strength of the high pressure that's responsible for the heat now is going to allow this system to do. Right now, the steering currents with the system are fairly weak right now, so it's just kind of meandering south of Panama City, south of Destin, and it's going to eventually just start to slowly trug toward the mouth of the Mississippi River, and then eventually, depending on exactly what happens, some of the model trends try to down toward the south and west. So if that happens, it may stay far enough south that we won't see anything out of it, but it will just bring us some slightly cooler temperatures, and all the deeper moisture and the shower activity will be mainly confined to southwest Louisiana and southeast Texas, where they'll have the better opportunities for rain there. But for us, you know, it just looks hot and dry. You know, this has been a fairly wet summer so far. Mm-hmm. We've seen the last 45 days or so where we've just seen a lot of rain. I was going through the records. You know, rainfall since July 1st, just this month, is 4.73 inches. That's nearly double, 2.53 above where we should be at for a normal July. The wettest July is in this decade, or this century rather, going back to 2000, is 2007. We had over 10 inches of rain, 10 and a half inches of rain. I think there was some tropical influence that actually allowed for those rain chances to be that high on that year. But, you know, this has been a wet July. We're still a long way away from having the wettest summer on record. You know, I mean, I was going back to see exactly when that was. That was back in 1989 when we had 25.91 inches. And, you know, that was definitely, there was definitely some tropical influence with that as well to get those type of rainfall totals. We're a long way away from, you know, being at a point where we're going to see, you know, significant rains, you know, to really start to, you know, edge back, you know, or edge up to where we would be at an all-time record for rainfall. But, you know, we still got a long way to go in this year. So, you know, I think we're just going to have to see how the year plays out.
So, Richard, lots of times when we see hurricanes or tropical depressions, it's further out into the Gulf of America. This one seems to have formed fairly close to the shoreline. Is that an indication of perhaps the water temperature is higher this year than in past years, or it's just happenstance?
I think that this year, this is going to be the year that we're going to have to watch for close-in tropical development. You know, what was the developer for this system is we had an old front that just kind of washed itself out down in the Gulf of America, you know, late last week. And that little identity or that little piece of, you know, of energy kind of got left over from that old front. And that's going to be the thing that we're going to have to watch this year. It's not going to be stuff that's going to come all the way across the Atlantic that we've seen, you know, in big hurricane years, because there's just way too much shear because of the El Nino effect that's going on right now. This year is going to be determined on exactly on close-in development. So anything that develops, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico or the Western Caribbean, you know, it's going to be close to, you know, to what we're going to have lesser time to prepare for systems that develop like this. So I think that's going to be what the, going to be the trend is. Shear right now is the thing that is kind of keep this system in check right now. It's not expected to become a hurricane, but it will probably become a tropical storm, maybe a strong tropical storm. So I think that's what we're going to be watching here as we move on, as we watch Bertha this week.
Richard, I'm looking at the forecast now. We do have triple digits for tomorrow and Wednesday, but then, like you say, it kind of calms down a little bit. I remember last summer we had several days in a row of triple-digit temperatures. We don't seem to be having that this year. Are we looking at a little bit milder July and August?
You know, one of the things that we've seen is that, you know, because of the amount of rain that we have seen so far this July already, it kind of helped to keep the temperatures down a little bit. Yes, okay. We had some, that, which I think is good news for us so far. You know, we are going to have this spate of, you know, temperatures 98 to, you know, 104 here this week, or at least for the next couple of days, cooling off Thursday into the weekend as we have the closeness of Bertha. Then we go right back into the triple digit heat next week. So, you know, I think that these bouts of rain that we were getting from time to time is kind of helping us keep the temperatures in check, and we're not dealing with the oppressive heat that we've seen in previous years.
Well, I'll take that. Thank you so much, Richard. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, Lewis Avalone in for Aaron, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, she knocked it. She knocked it down 1 degree.
Boy, you're.
I get an email whenever we have one of those smart thermostats at the house. And so anytime I change the temp, it gets an email and says, I deleted it. So
we have a smart thermostat also and a dumb thermostat. And I'm the dumbest thermostat. I don't control anything in my house, you know.
Aaron on vacation, 1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty in studio. My dear friend, longtime radio legend, Mr. Weather. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for coming out.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'm so excited that you're going to be here today.
I have not been up this early since the last time I was here. And that's the truth. I don't exaggerate there. That's the truth.
Now, Ruben was off last week, but he said he couldn't sleep past 6 o'clock.
I just can't anymore. I don't know what it
What's
is.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I've been doing this too long, I guess.
Oh, gosh. Look, you know, I got up for years and years at, all times of the day and night when I was on the police department. And then when I went, you know, in radio, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30.
Yeah.
I'd get up. I have no problems sleeping till 9, 10 o'clock.
See, I can't on Saturdays. I'm up. I'm the same thing, Ruben. I'm up 6:30.
I wish I remembered how to sleep in. I just don't anymore. I don't have that. Whatever that was is gone.
Now, it's ridiculous. On Friday nights and Saturday nights, I do not want to go to bed.
Right.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, I can stay up. And by 9,
it used to be that way, yeah.
My head's dropping, yeah. I can't stay up late anymore. And I'm a night person.
I'm a day or night. It doesn't make any difference to me. I got accustomed. I've worked all night shifts, and I've worked, you know, early morning, and it doesn't make a difference. I can sleep daytime, nighttime, noise, no noise, blinds open, blinds closed. It doesn't make a difference.
A lot of people don't realize you were in law enforcement for a long time.
40 years.
Yeah.
Total. Yeah.
40, yeah. That's a long time.
And I was in radio about the same time.
Right. You know? I don't know how you'd manage that. I really don't.
Well, I was
on the radio every morning.
I was blessed, Mike. I truly mean that. I had two jobs throughout my whole life and I'm not done yet. That sounds like I'm finished. But throughout my entire career as a person, I had two jobs that I dearly loved and loved going to work
right
every day.
See, that is a blessing. Mm-hmm. How many people get up right now and go,
yeah, oh yeah,
I don't want to go to work.
They say 50% of the people hate their jobs.
And that's a shame.
It
life's too short to spend the bulk of it miserable. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Money is not everything.
Coming up after the news, top of the hour, Michael Corbin with SWEPCO going to join us. We're going to talk about these dangerous temperatures. Mr. Weather in for the vacationing Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel. One oh one seven FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Aaron on vacation. Mr. Weather agreed to come in this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Do I have to wear this dress of Aaron?
Aaron doesn't wear a dress. I don't know why you're wearing one.
Oh, never mind then.
Thank you for coming in on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline from SWEPCO. Michael Corbin joining us. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Mr. Weather.
Good morning.
Honor.
I know, isn't this great?
Not that much of an honor.
I didn't know if you needed to finish your dress conversation and get me later or just what.
I wasn't expecting it, so it kind of caught me off guard, yeah. No, we've got some dangerous temperatures for the next few days. Is this going to put a pretty good strain on our grid?
Well, you know, we monitor the grid closely every day along with our partner, Southwest Power Pool. And so far, all the forecasts that we're looking at and the generation that we have, everything is rolling on as it should. But when it's hot like this, we always do ask our customers to, you know, be aware if there's ways that you can conserve any energy that's important. And if we get to some point where, you know, not alarms are sounding, but we feel like we're getting tight on energy availability, then we'll communicate that to our customers. But for the most part right now, everything looks great.
When I signed on to the Weather Channel earlier this morning, I looked at the 10-day forecast and I was like, I told Ruben, I said, holy cow, it switched from yesterday. They've updated. We've got 104 to 106 for the next 14 days. And then I said, yeah. Oh, wait, that's Dallas.
But we're pretty close.
let me switch back to Shreveport. We're going to cool down to a nice, pleasant 95 later this week. So we're not looking at triple digits every day, but it is going to be hot.
It is. And, you know, we forget that a year ago we were having the same conversation. It was in the high 90s. That's just how our weather goes through the cycles here. But it's dangerous, you know, and we encourage everybody to check on your neighbors. If you've got older family members, check on them because they're easily dehydrated if their houses get warm. And, you know, another thing that I think is important is we've talked about this previously, we're doing a lot of work in the area, forestry work, replacing equipment to, you know, provide more reliable service. And a lot of times that causes a brief outage with our customers. So we need to have your contact information in our system. So I would encourage everybody to use the SWEPCO app, go to SWEPCO.com, or call us and make sure we have a good phone number for you. Because if we have a planned outage to replace a pole or a piece of equipment, we're going to call all those impacted customers the day before so they can make preparations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Let me interject here. And Michael, I would have to compliment SWEPCO on doing that. Letting people know when the electricity is out, because ours went out the other day and we hardly ever lose electricity, but it went out for maybe 10 seconds. Yep. And our phone went off almost immediately. There is a powered outages in your area.
That app is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it really is. And the technology that we have been able to incorporate both in our lines and you know, the equipment that the public sees, as well as what we're able to do behind the scenes, really provides a much better experience for our customer. Because the worst thing that you want, whether it's freezing cold or it's scorching hot, is to have an outage and not know, well, does the power company know this? Is it going to be a day? Is it going to be 10 minutes? Is it going to be 3 hours? And we are really focused on getting as much information out to the customer as we can.
We're talking with Michael Corbin, External Affairs Manager at SWEPCO. Huh? Huh?
Yeah.
I didn't have to ask you.
Around town, that SWEPCO guy.
That's right. Michael, I think it was Friday we lost power, and it was a beautiful day. Sun was shining. And you said there was something over at Ackard and Piermont or Southfield that had happened, and it affected like 4,500 customers, including restaurants and businesses.
Right. It was a large outage on a Friday afternoon, and it did impact the Line Avenue corridor and some other areas. And, you know, probably contributed to or the heat contributed to it a little bit, but equipment failure, a line comes down, and we had to go out and get that fixed. And, you know, our folks out in the field are to be commended, because they are out there day and night in this heat, working in these conditions, and we appreciate what they do. And we're also making sure that we're taking care of our employees and really focusing on hydration, signs of heat issues, because, you know, we need everybody going home safe at night and being able to work.
And if somebody sees a crew, because like you say, and I've said, these power line crews are the unsung heroes, man. We always recognize first responders, and nobody thinks about the power crews that are out usually in storms,
right?
Or extreme conditions like this. So again, thank you. And I wish I would have had some water, bottled water or something to pass along to them.
Yeah, and many people will do that. They'll hand out water, Gatorade, or, you know, even homemade cookies sometimes. And, you know, they certainly appreciate that. And, you know, if you go by and you see a crew doing work, take a second and look at the clothes they have on, because certainly they have on long sleeve flame retardant shirts, pants, usually very, you know, elbow length gloves, hard hat. They're not dressed for the hot weather. They're dressed for safety. And it's a double burden on those folks as well.
Now, as people are preparing for this kind of stretch of triple digits and extreme heat, and when you factor in the humidity, I know people go, they're so tired of hearing about the heat index. I remember I saw a T-shirt in New Orleans one time. It said, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity. But let's talk about some of the things people can do to kind of help. What do you recommend as far as your system and how to keep everything running efficiently?
Well, sure. And there's little things anybody can do. You know, during these periods of high 90s and low 100s, keep your curtains closed as much as you can. Keep sunlight out of your house. If you're doing laundry, simple thing like that, maybe do laundry, run your clothes dryer in the evening instead of during the heat of the day. And if there's any way that you can adjust that thermostat up a degree or two without causing health issues in the house, that's a good thing too, because when we get past this and we get a month down the road, and the next billing cycle hits, there's going to be a little shock on everybody's face, because your bill's going to be more, not because the cost of electricity went up, but because you're using more to run your HVAC unit and all that. And it's also a good time, if you have the capability to, if you've not had your HVAC unit serviced in the past couple of years, have somebody come out, look at it, make sure it's got all the Freon it needs and all the coolant it needs. And it's operating efficiently, because that's the biggest user of electricity in houses in our area.
Michael, is there a temperature that we should be setting our thermostats on to maybe to save a little bit of electricity, save a little bit on our bill?
Well, that's really a personal decision. You know, some people just can't tolerate anything above 72 to 74.
My wife would freeze out if I did that.
You know, 76 is maybe a good starting number. I've seen some facts and figures where every 2 degrees up or down, you know, what that may cost you. But all of our circumstances are going to be different. You know, how our house is insulated, what we can tolerate, and what activities we're doing. You know, if you have ceiling fans, turn them on. Let those things run.
Yeah.
Even if you have a box fan or something, use that to augment and get some airflow.
Mm-hmm.
And that uses much less energy than if you crank your HVAC unit down another 4, 5, 6 degrees.
And Michael, don't you offer like an average monthly billing plan?
We do, and this is a perfect time when that comes in. You know, we can put your account on average billing, so that not only helps you budget, but it also takes the spikes out when we have extremely hot or extremely cold weather. And we have lots of folks that can talk you through that process, You know, you can do it online, either through the app or our website, or you can call us, and we'll help get that set up for you.
Michael Corbin, External Affairs Manager at SWEPCO. Michael, thanks so much. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Good talking to you both. Have a great day.
We'll talk to you soon. Micah McCarty, Mr. Weather in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Aaron on vacation in studio this morning. My dear friend, Mr. Weather, Ralph Montgomery, thank you for coming out.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I know you missed getting up so early and being on the radio.
Well, I was hoping they'd change the hours here to around 10 o'clock so they could go on the air at 10.
I know, right?
No such luck.
But then they'd have to change everybody's hours getting up. Because we help people get ready for work and everything. Let them know what's happening.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that wouldn't mind going to work at 10
o'clock.
Yeah,
no kidding. Yeah. Now, you've been at Keel a long time.
Yeah, I was at Keel.
Where was
before I left to join the police department. And I worked at the old Sports Page Club for about a year. Remember that?
I do remember back that. Down in the square.
Yeah, down in the disco area.
What'd you danced era for them, right?
No. No, I was the booked the bands, and I was the
DJ. Sports Page.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, where
that
was
a fun job.
Where was Keel, the physical
710
building? 710
Spring Street.
So it was downtown?
Yes.
Okay.
710 Spring Street. I first started there when they had already moved from North Market.
Okay.
What is it, 1500?
Up at the Robert Center? Is that where it was
that
at
was
one time?
That was the name of it. And they were still presently, I think, on the air at that location. Then they switched to, if I remember correctly, and I may get some of the facts wrong, but that's all right because people are used to me getting facts wrong. And I went on the air at Keel within several days probably of when they moved to 710 Spring Street.
Okay.
Larry and I both.
And that was because I remember driving by and you could see up in the control room on the second floor as you were coming down Spring Street. And it was such a thrill if you ever got to see the DJ.
Yeah.
In the studio.
And whoever built that building put the glass in wrong, in my opinion, because during the daytime, people could see in, rather than people could see it. We could see out, but people could see in. But at nighttime, we couldn't see out at all.
Right, right.
And, of course, we didn't know who was on the outside, and the curtains were always open most of the time, and we didn't know what was up. These days, you wouldn't do that.
Isn't that sad? You can't even leave the door unlocked anymore. And I remember the time I was working at KMBQ, and gosh, the first time I opened the mic at Keel, I think I was like 19 or 20. That was the most nervous I've ever been in my life, cracking that mic first time ever at Keel.
Yeah, it is. And I couldn't be on TV, and I hate public speaking. Done it not very many times at all. I would be nervous. Now, sitting in front of a mic where people can't see me and thousands of people are listening, probably, you hope, and that doesn't bother me.
Right.
But standing up in front of a group of people, I'd be a nervous wreck. I applied for a job years ago, and I can barely remember it. I think it was at Channel 3, as the weatherman.
Really?
And that's when you didn't have to know anything about
A lot of people,
meteorology at all.
Like Al Bolton was a weatherman. He was not a meteorologist.
Yeah. And I did a little 2-minute thing, application thing on the air. Not on the air, but
an audition kind of thing.
Audition, yeah. And apparently I didn't get the job.
Well, you lived up to it on Keel forever and ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I was with Keel about 14 years.
Hang tight. We're going to take a quick break. We got to go to news. And then we're going to talk with Shelly Regal. SPAR and the city of Shreveport has cooling centers all around the area. And we'll get your information on that. Mr. Weather in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710Keel.
Mr. Weather in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. It's so funny talking old school. And you used to do overnights?
Yes, all Keel. Night. Yes, old Keel come in at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it was 2 in the morning on Sunday mornings when you would play the church programs.
Yes.
On Sunday morning. And they used to go off the air around 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. And I'd come in at 2 o'clock in the morning and work on that, which was actually early Monday morning.
Larry Ryan and Mr. Weather.
Yeah. And you know, one of the, I guess one of my pet peeves, I think probably for the entire career I was on the radio, and it still is why we don't have Amtrak here. And they've been talking about it for years and years.
That's
and
a great,
years.
Yeah.
And it was recently brought up, I think as early as 5-6 months ago.
Yeah.
And they were studying it. We're studying it. And nothing. Nothing yet.
All right. Well, we're going to look into that and see what the latest is on that.
This would be a very viable era.
Oh, absolutely.
Area to go, you know, from Marshall, Texas, on to wherever it goes, east. But I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, from Dallas to Atlanta, you know, absolutely.
Right now it goes all the way to Marshall. And I've had friends, and you have too, and Ruben probably has too, that catches Amtrak in Marshall and goes to
wife used to, when our daughter lived in Dallas, my wife used to jump on it in Marshall and head over. Mm-hmm. We've got Shelly Regal going to join us, talk about the SPAR cooling centers right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, dangerous temperatures for the next few days, the next week or so. Shelly Regal from SPAR on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shelly, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much. Good. Say hi to Mr. Weather, radio legend.
Good morning, Mr. Weather.
Boy, she didn't know what to say, did you? Good morning, Shelly. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm just doing great. Thank you.
Shelly, we've got triple digits for the next few days, and city has opened cooling centers. Tell us about the cooling centers, where they are, and what people can expect.
Well, throughout the city, when it gets to be 100-degree temperatures, we open our recreation centers to just for cooling centers. We'll still have all our normal activities going on, our summer camps, but we set up an area just if you need a place to come in and get some relief from the heat. There's places to sit down. We have water because being hydrated is really important during these high temperatures. So we open up many of our big centers, six of our big centers that are, you know, geographically spread out throughout the city, and just a place where you could come and cool off for a few minutes.
And you've got, you say, six locations?
Yes. And those are on our website. And actually, there's five locations. They're on our website, and you can go to that, or I'll run through them for you real quick. Valencia, David Raines, Bilberry Airport, and Bill Cockrell. So all of those are there from 8 to 8. Saturdays, we're there from 8 to 3. And as I said, we've got plenty of water. So if you're having trouble getting enough hydration, just come in, take a few minutes, an hour or so, and cool yourself off.
Now, did I see a report that said something about the libraries are also operating kind of as cooling centers?
Yes. The libraries have always been very cooperative to, remind people that they're your public library and that they can be a great place to come and cool off.
Shelly, did you say these cooling centers are not open on Sunday? Is that correct?
No. Depending on the temperature on Sunday, we may have to extend the hours to Sunday, but normally we have not been.
Okay.
But it depends on if we continue with the 100-plus degrees, we'll open them on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's only triple digits? Like if it's 98, you guys, it's only going to be 100? Is that right?
Yes, once we reach 100. Normally, we used to do 100 for three consecutive days. That used to be the protocol. But over the last few years, just that first day, because leading up to that 100, it's normally very warm. So we've just started, once it reached that 100 degrees, we start opening them.
Is that heat index temperature, or is that the actual temperature before you open it up?
That's the actual temperature.
Okay.
I'm looking at the 26th. It's going to be 99. That's the sun. That's this coming Sunday.
Okay.
But.
And, you know, after we've been 100, we may decide on this Sunday. We better stay open on that Sunday.
Right. You're looking at 100, 102 on Tuesday, Wednesday, 102, Thursday, 100. So all of next week, just about.
Yes.
Looks like they're going to need to be open.
Yes. And that's why we work with people like the library, the malls, people like that, to also provide alternatives to our sites when needed.
Shelley, tell us about the pools. Almost all the pools are open.
I knew that Aaron had taught you well. The other alternative to cooling down is, you know, we have spray grounds throughout the city. There's one almost in every neighborhood, and then we have the one big one downtown on the riverfront. But every neighborhood has a spray ground. What a great place to cool off. All of our swimming pools are Bill Cockrell, David Raines, Airport, and Quirby's are all open for swimming. Great places to cool down also. But, you know, got to take your precautions when you're out there in this heat, even at those locations. But they are all great places to cool off.
And you don't have to be a little kid to take advantage of, like, the spray parks and things, do you?
No. You know, like I said, we have 11 of them throughout the city. So there's a place you certainly can cool down. I've seen people down on the riverfront, you know, adults just sitting there in the fountain while their kids play.
Do y'all supply the soap at these coons? You know,
well, we have to
take a shower.
Well, we hope that we don't have to.
Well, you've never dealt with Mr. Weather, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
Or Aaron, you know, Aaron got banned at one point.
Oh.
Yes, that's right.
And was it because of soap? Wait, but I think we think she got a reprieve. Shelley, thank you so much. We appreciate the update, and we will talk to you again soon.
Y'all stay cool, and everybody stay hydrated.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again. Micah McCarty, Mr. Weather in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
My picture on my contact for you, you know, how you can assign like a picture or whatever, is a picture of you, me, and Larry in the studio. It was so long ago. Golly, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but I look at it and I go, good gosh, I look like a baby.
Well, we were all very young at that time.
And
I'm still very young.
And absolutely.
I don't know. There's so many stories and people we've met over the years. And I can't remember half of them. I didn't meet half as many famous people, of course, working with Larry as he did over the years.
Right.
In the places. Yeah, I was... you know, in the background most of the time. I did meet a few famous people. I can't remember his name, and he can't remember mine either. But he is a famous piano player that he came to town one time, and we interviewed him, and a songwriter. You know, like Burt Bacharach, somebody like
Floyd Kramer or something that?
No. But I can't remember who it was. And Little Richard, we did a show with Little Richard one time down at the Strand Theater years ago.
Yeah.
It was, I forget what that was for, but it was a lot of fun. And that's about all. I just wasn't around a whole lot of famous people.
Well, back in the day when you guys were across the street, it's not even there anymore. That company, and it was Al LeGrand,
mm-hmm.
used to do sports.
Yes, Al LeGrand did sports.
And then when he retired, I came in and started doing sports. Don't know why. I don't even remember how that came about.
I don't know either. I think we just needed a third man in there to do sports, and and you just were walking down the hall, and we grabbed you one day. And you ended up doing sports.
It was so much fun.
Not like the way I ended up doing the weather. You know, wrong place at the wrong time.
Right. Because you were at the radio station, and Larry was there, and then he just kind of gathered. You said he grabbed you one time and said, hey, come in here and do the weather.
Yeah, I was radio was my second love. My first ambition was to be a police officer. And at that time, Vietnam, it was well underway. I just got out of college. Got out of college, and I got drafted. I remember my number. It was 256. And I got drafted. I can tell the story now because I can't go to jail for it. And I got drafted and went to the induction center. And I had a friend of mine that was a doctor down there. And he says, I'll get you through it. Don't worry about it. And I wanted to get through it because I had a hole in my left eardrum from very, very early age. And he said, I'll pass you. I'll get you right on through. And you can be classified, and you won't go in the Army, but you'll be classified, and you can join the police department. You'll be classified 1A. Well, he wasn't there that day, and they booted me out again. You can't get in. But I did that. Tried to do it twice,
right,
to get in the service, and my left eardrum kept me out.
Mr. Weather in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. We got Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel going to join us, give us an update after the news, top of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM, 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Aaron on vacation. Mr. Weather in studio for Aaron. And speaking of weather, on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Richard Llewellyn from the Weather Channel joining us. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
I know you're not aware of it. You're in Hotlanta, right?
Yes.
But you're on the air with a legend in the Shreveport market, Mr. Weather.
Perhaps you've heard of me. Perhaps not.
I may have. I know a couple of Mets that used to be over in Shreveport, so I may know who you are.
But don't tell anybody, okay?
I won't tell nobody. Secret safe with me,
Richard. Let's first get an update on Bertha. It's evolved into a tropical storm, right?
Yeah, a little stronger this morning, of up to 50 miles per hour with the winds. But it's been having a hard time. It's been dealing with a shear that has been off to the east of the system. It's been trying to rip it apart. So it's not really getting, you know, the ideal conditions to support, you know, rapid tropical development. Normally, if we would have something in the Gulf of Mexico this time of the year with the water temperatures as warm as they are, we would be, you know, gravely concerned that there's going to be some type of a major hurricane to deal with. But, you know, the shear is keeping the storm in check, and it's running out of time to really get its act together, because it's going to slam into southeast Louisiana here probably within the next 36 to 48 hours. And then it's just going to be basically just kind of hugging the Louisiana coast as we move on through the rest of the week and into the weekend, eventually losing its tropical identity over southeast Texas as we move into the weekend. So, you know, we're going to be watching it as we move on through the next few days. I think the main concern, gusty winds for lower Plaquemines, maybe some areas down there where they may be dealing with some storm surge flooding that could get up to about 3 to 4 feet in some areas, some coastal overwash on some of the roads down there. and some rain, especially for areas from New Orleans southward down toward the mouth of the Mississippi River, you know, places like Grand Isle. They'll deal with some rain down there. But, you know, overall, this is just kind of a dress rehearsal for, you know, what may come later in the season if we get anything, you know, super significant. You know, it's always good to have a test storm, and I think this is what we're dealing with right now is a test storm.
Well, I got to be honest, Richard, you sound a little disappointed that it's kind of fizzling out.
I I've been doing this for 26 years, you know, and, you know, after you look at them for 26 years, you know which ones to cheer for and which ones not to cheer for. And this one is just, it's kind of a non-event.
Right. Well, I hate to say anything, but we're kind of overdue for a major hurricane in this area, you know, Louisiana and the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, you know, we got to go back to, Rita and Wilma and, you know, some of the other big storms that we dealt with over the last, you know, few years. You know, usually every 4 to 5 years, we're kind of, you know, on the watch for something, you know, to come up our way. You know, and I've often said that, you know, this year is going to be the year for close-in tropical development just due to the fact that we're dealing with a strong El Nino. So, you know, the Western Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico are going to be the places to watch, you know, for, you know, any type of tropical development. You know, and even the forecasters of the National Hurricane Center and at Colorado State have kind of talked about the fact that the Western Gulf may be the area to watch this year for big storms. So, and that's my concern as well.
Well, that wind shear that's keeping this thing offshore for the most part, how long will that last?
You know, it looks like it's going to stay weak here for probably another day or so, and then, of course, it's going to start to pick back up again as we move into Wednesday night and Thursday. So, you know, it's in this window right now that we're probably looking at its greatest intensity right now, and it just doesn't look like a whole lot, you know, as you look at it right now. I mean, you can definitely see the influence of a combination of land being so close to land, the Florida Panhandle in South Alabama right now, you know, it's kind of cutting off the northern half of the system. It really just can't get, you know, deep convection around the center of circulation. So, you know, the shear is going to be there for probably another, you know, lighter shear for at least another day, and then the shear picks back up late tomorrow into Thursday, and I think that's going to keep the system even more in check as it gets closer to Louisiana.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel. We are now into official hurricane season. I believe it runs, what, from June to through November? Is that right?
Yeah, November 30th. But you can get, in some years, we've had seen some storms form outside that bubble, you know, in December and January. But, you know, those are rare occurrences for that to happen. So, you know, we're in the uptick of the hurricane season right now. The peak is September the 10th, you know, and then there's another little peak right there in the first week of October. And then, you know, so we're going to be watching things as we move on through the next, you know, several weeks, as the intensity starts to pick up and the, you know, the development, you know, main development region really starts to pick up here, especially as we get into August and September.
When I first got in this early this morning and logged into the Weather Channel website, it scared me almost, because it was 14 days of 104, 106, 103, all the way down. And I told Ruben, I said, oh, my gosh, the forecast really changed from yesterday. And then I looked, and I said, oh, it defaulted to Dallas.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'm an idiot. Because I texted you, and I went, oh, my gosh, it's really changed.
And then, you know, if we ever see the Weather Channel guy show up in their truck, because I got a big Weather Channel on the side of it, and a couple of guys. If you ever see those guys in your area, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Take cover.
That is the truth.
Believe it or not, we actually have a crew in New Orleans this morning, you know, getting ready to cover the storm down there. So, you know, we've got people down there, you know. But, you know, right now, you know, the Arklatex is kind of on the very edge of this bubble of extreme heat. You know, there are extreme heat warnings up for southern Arkansas, northeast Louisiana, and northeast Texas. And we're just kind of stuck here with a heat advisory you know, we're going to be dealing with some hot temperatures today and tomorrow, and then we'll kind of feel the influence of Bertha come in. That'll kind of keep the temperatures in check for a day or so. But the extreme heat's going to basically run from about Dallas on up into parts of the Mid-Mississippi River Valley where the extreme warnings are currently active for the heat. So, you know, we're kind of, you know, just kind of on the edge of things right now in regards to the extreme heat. Even though it's going to be very hot and humid next couple of days, it's going to be nothing compared to what they're going to be dealing with in the Metroplex going on up to Little Rock and up to St. Louis.
Well, that's just one reason of many why I don't live in Dallas, but that's another story. We are going to get a little relief later this week into the weekend, but then next week it looks like the bulk of the week is triple digits.
Yeah, we're going to go right back into the heat. Once we get rid of Bertha and get it out of the way, we're going to go back into the triple digits again, and we're going to look at temperatures, you know, probably 100 to 105 for afternoon highs again. You know, so we're going to be dealing with it again. And, you
and
know,
no more than 20% chance of rain the whole time.
Yeah, and really not a big rain chance for us. You know, we are going, you know, into the dog days of summer, no doubt about that. You know, August is usually a very hot month for us here in Shreveport, and it looks like it's going to be starting out that way with some very warm temperatures.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel.
Yeah, I wanted to ask him one more question before you go, Richard. Is there any truth to the statement? People say, oh, it's a hot summer. It's going to be a hot summer. That means it's going to be a cold winter this year. Is there any truth to that?
You know, we've been kind of keeping an eye on things, you know, in regards to, you know, how this strong El Nino is going to play out, you know, as we move on into, you know, the latter half of the year. And overall, it looks like El Nino is going to definitely have an influence on exactly, you know, how mild our winter is going to be this year. I'm thinking that we're going to probably have a mild winter, but, you know, there's going to be that potential that we're going to see some cold air try to battle up against, you know, the warm air. What I'm thinking right now is what we're going to be looking at as we get toward winter. It's going to be probably more in the way of rain chances, but we're also going to have that concern for icing, you know, as we get on into January and February. So, you know,
that. Yeah,
I think that's going to be what we're going to be looking at as we move further along and get closer and closer into the, you know, the El Nino part of fall and winter. So stay tuned. I think it's going to be pretty mild, but we're going to be on the watch for those winter weather events as well.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel. Richard, thanks for the update.
Thank you, guys.
Mike and McCarty, Mr. Weather, in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Erin on vacation, she, gosh, how much time does she get off, Ruben?
I think we said yesterday, 18? It's about 6 months out of the year.
Yeah.
She seems to have off.
Now, granted, she's been here in this building 40 years. So I understand that time accrues and you get time off.
But not 6 months.
It shouldn't be. Wow. Mr. Weather in studio for Aaron this morning and Ralph Montgomery, longtime Keel legend, you and Larry Ryan and Mr. Weather forever and ever. So you're completely retired now because you were in law enforcement as well.
Yes, I was.
So you're not, you retired from that. After you left the Shreveport Police Department, you went to the Bossier Sheriff's Department.
Bossier Sheriff's Department for 12 more years and as a school resource officer.
Yeah.
And which I love that job. I miss both jobs that I've had here, radio and law enforcement. You're glad to be retired, I guess, but you miss them both, you know.
So what does your day consist of now? In the minute that we have here before
wait
the break.
A minute. Okay. What time is it? 8:30? I'm not even up yet. I'm not even up.
So those years of getting up at 3:30 in the morning, you can now sleep late. Because I can't even sleep late on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem. I have no problem at all. But usually, you know, I'll get up, I have coffee. And then whatever my wife has planned for me, that's what I do. And she has it all written out. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And you're going to. No, not really. But I'm also the gated community I live in. I'm the HOA there.
Okay.
Homeowners Association yeah. president. So sometimes.
Security at your church.
Yeah, security at First Bossier. And that pretty well takes up all my day. And I work out every day.
It's so funny. My wife retired from Willis-Knighton after 40 years, 40 mm-hmm. plus.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't stop. She does more now than.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
She literally doesn't stop.
Exactly. There's so many things that you probably neglected when you're working.
Right.
That you do now that you wonder how you had time to work. Most retired people will say that. And some other retired people look for things to do.
Right.
I don't look for things to do because there's plenty to take up my time.
Well, they say don't retire from something, but retire to something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that way you have a purpose still. So
yeah, I always have a reason to get up in the morning.
There you go.
Don't stay in your pajamas all day long.
That would be so depressing.
No, gosh.
It would be so depressing.
And I stay on the go a lot. I do.
We spoke to Shelley Regal from Spard. The city has 5 cooling centers that are open for the next few days. Find out more details on that here coming up in about 10 minutes. Mr. Weather in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mr. Weather in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty. You were with the Shreveport Police Department for a long time. And
yeah,
you
28
rode,
years.
You rode motorcycles for a long time.
I was a motorcycle cop. I was a bad boy for almost 9 years.
Did you ever sit
best
up
job,
under?
Best job I ever had on the police department.
Did you ever sit up under the overpass there at Monk House?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you bastard.
And I swear, there's several people that I've known now that are friends. I swear you stopped me one day. I know you gave me it. Al Grin swears up and down I gave him a ticket. Larry says I stopped him one day. I don't remember that. But, yeah, I got to thinking about that one day with some friends, and I figured up about 45,000 traffic tickets I wrote during my 9 years.
Oh, my gosh.
If I happen to give you a ticket, I'm truly sorry.
No, you're not.
No.
But they're never under there anymore. Not Shreveport Police. Now, I did see a state trooper running radar mm-hmm. just this week mm-hmm. On I-20.
Well,
right before you get to Monk House.
Yeah. The Shreveport Police Department is, of course, as everybody knows, way understaffed. Way understaffed. I wish they could recruit more, but for some reason or another, it's just hard to find people that want to become law enforcement officers anymore.
Well, it's because...
And that's Shreveport and Bossier.
Oh, well, that's all across the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's because they've been villainized. And you can go back to the Obama administration and start looking at when police officers started becoming villainized.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good career. It's a very, very rewarding career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Know that you've helped some people. And get up every day with the feeling that you're going to do something good today to help somebody out. And usually you do.
And you had to do some pretty harsh training to be on the motorcycles, didn't you?
Yeah. Tom Brown, good friend of mine.
I remember Tom.
He was a motorcycle training officer. You had to learn how to hold that motorcycle up going up a hill. At a dead stop, you had to do figure eights going about a half a mile an hour.
And people think that's easy. That is not easy.
Oh, no, it is not easy.
The slower that bike goes, the harder it is to control.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah, it really is. But it was a fun job. I enjoyed it. And everybody I stopped did not get a ticket. I know that motorcycle officers are probably looked upon as the bad guys in the police department. But I was always treated with the utmost respect from people I stopped and from the public in general.
Right.
You know, you get the feedback that you give. That's what you get back usually.
There you go.
If you're nice to them, 9 times out of 10, they'll be nice to you.
Shelley Regal with Spar up after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Dangerous temperatures for the next few days, the next week or so. Shelley Regal from Spar on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shelley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much.
Good.
Say hi to Mr. Weather, radio legend.
Good morning, Mr. Weather.
She didn't know what to say, did you? Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm just doing great. Thank you.
Shelley, we've got triple digits for the next few days, and city has opened cooling centers. Tell us about the cooling centers, where they are, and what people can expect.
Well, throughout the city, when it gets to be 100 degree temperatures, we open our recreation centers to just for cooling centers. We'll still have all our normal activities going on, our summer camps, but we set up an area just if you need a place to come in and get some relief from the heat. There's places to sit down. We have water because being hydrated is really important during these high temperatures. So we open up many of our big centers, six of our big centers that are, you know, geographically spread out there all this throughout, and just a place where you could come and cool off for a few minutes.
And you've got, you say, six locations?
Yes. And those are on our website. And actually, there's five locations. They're on our website, and you can go to that, or I'll run through them for you real quick. Valencia, David Raines, Bilberry Airport, and Bill Cockrell. So all of those are there from 8 to 8. Saturdays, we're there from 8 to 3. And as I said, we've got plenty of water, so if you're having trouble getting enough hydration, just come in, take a few minutes, an hour or so, and cool yourself off.
Now, did I see a report that said something about the libraries are also operating kind of as cooling centers?
Yes, the libraries have always been very cooperative to, you know, remind people that they're your public library and that they can be a great place to come and cool off.
Shelley, did you say these cooling centers are not open on Sunday? Is that correct?
No, depending on the temperature on Sunday, we may have to extend the hours to Sunday, but normally we have not been.
Okay.
But it depends on if we continue with the 100-plus degrees, we'll open them on Sunday.
Yeah. And it's only triple digits? Like if it's 98, you guys, it's only going to be 100? Is that right?
Yes. Once we reach 100, normally we used to do 100 for three consecutive days. That used to be the protocol. But the last few years, just that first day, because leading up to that 100, it's normally very warm. So we've just started, once it reached that 100 degrees, we start now, opening them.
Is that heat index temperature, or is that the actual temperature before you open it up?
That's the actual temperature.
Okay.
I'm looking at the 26th. It's going to be 99. That's the sun. That's this coming Sunday.
Okay.
But,
and you know, after we've been 100, we may decide on this Sunday we better stay open on that Sunday.
Right. You're looking at 100, 102 on Tuesday, Wednesday 102, Thursday 100. So all of next week, just about.
Yes.
Looks like they're going to need to be open.
Yes. And that's why we work with people like the library, the malls, people like that, to also provide alternatives to our sites when needed.
Shelley, tell us about the pools. Almost all the pools are open.
I knew that Aaron had taught you well. I was going to say the other alternative to cooling down is we have spray grounds throughout the city. There's one almost in every neighborhood, and then we have the one big one downtown on the riverfront. But every neighborhood has a spray ground. What a great place to cool off. All of our swimming pools are Bill Cockrell, David Raines, Airport, and Quirby's are all open for swimming. Great places to cool down also. But, you know, got to take your precautions when you're out there in this heat, even at those locations. But they are all great places to cool off.
And you don't have to be a little kid to take advantage of like the spray parks and things, do you?
No. You know, like I said, we have 11 of them throughout the city. So there's a place you certainly can cool down. I've seen people down on the riverfront, you know, adults just sitting there in the fountain while their kids play.
Do y'all supply the soap at these rooms? And, you know,
well, we have to do,
take a shower and stuff.
Well, we hope that we don't have to.
Well, you've never dealt with Mr. Weather, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
Or Aaron, you know, Aaron got banned right at one point.
Oh.
Yes, that's right.
And was it because of soap?
Right.
Wait, but I think we think she got a reprieve. Shelley, thank you so much. We appreciate the update, and we will talk to you again soon.
Y'all stay cool, and everybody stay hydrated.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again. Mike and McCarty, Mr. Weather in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
The legendary Mr. Weather in studio, Aaron on vacation, Mike and McCarty. Thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. It's quite different from the radio show that I had. It's a lot more serious. I have to watch what I say.
No, you don't.
I don't want to offend anybody.
Since when?
Well, you're right. You're exactly right. Who cares? They can't fire me.
Exactly.
Can't get fired. Like I got fired from the other station. But that's okay. But it's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And, you know, maybe I'll come back again sometime.
Now, you and Larry worked together for, it seems like, 100 years.
102 years.
102.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
They came in one Friday and said.
I'm not even sure it was Friday. It might have been. I don't remember. That's how easily you forget.
Right.
I don't remember what day it was. And I really don't. And they just came in and said, the station manager is a nice guy. I mean, he has to do what he has to do.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't his decision. Yeah. No,
he said, I need to see y'all in the office when you get off the air. And I knew then, uh-oh.
Because a new company had taken over.
Yeah.
Not too long before that.
Right. And so we went into his office, the three of us, Howard Hart, myself, and Larry, sat down. He said, well, this is part of the job that, you know, nobody likes. But today was y'all's last day.
That's unbelievable.
Can you be a little more blunt about it, you know? And
not even a chance to.
I said, no party, no nothing, no bonus or nothing, no parting gift.
No gold watch.
No, just get out. So
give me your access card.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't have one. We weren't that uptown. No, we were doing good to get in the building, much less have an access card.
Right.
But that was it. That was our last day on the air. And I miss it.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying to you.
Sure. You did it for so long.
Yeah. I miss everything I did. Coming up through the years, police department, radio, all of it,
and the music gotten to now. Back in the old days, in fact, across the hall here, what is now an office, that was the music library. When I was on the air at KWKH, right behind you, and we would go in and pull albums and play actual music, play albums, and now it's all on computer.
Oh yeah, well. When I first started in radio, it was records.
But
we played records, and I got chastised for that, too, because I didn't stick to the format.
Well,
one time I had my own, what was it? I forget what artist it was. Let's say whatever.
Al Green.
And I love Al Green.
I do, too.
And I played maybe a solid hour of Al Green. And I said, heck, it's 4 o'clock. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Who's going to know? Howard Clark knew. He was our program director.
Oh, I got, Uncle Howard.
Yeah, Larry wasn't there then, I don't think. He was up in Chicago.
Chicago, yeah.
And I got chastised for that, too. And probably some other stuff.
I would call you on my way into work here when you were over there and say, play me some Doors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I did, which was not in our format either, but I did it anyway. That shows you the kind of rebel I was. Well, I did some horrible things.
And wonder why they pulled you in the office and let y'all go, right?
Maybe they were listening. I didn't know it.
Yeah. I had a program director when I was at KRMD back in the 80s. And I was working overnights, and you had to say something between every single record.
Yeah.
There was no segueing music.
Yeah.
And, you know, 3:30 in the morning, and I was going to school full time and working overnights. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was coming from one, and I just punched up the next one. I had my head on the counter. And I was halfway asleep, and I just punched the next song.
Yes.
Didn't say anything.
Yes.
In the hotline, that red light started flashing. 3:30 in the morning. And the program director, I said, hello. He goes, we do not segue music here. But, oh, my gosh.
Well, the thing that I really am sorry about is that the younger generation, and, of course, the older ones like we are, the younger generation don't realize what they missed in personality radio back when they were, when there was, you played the old 45s and you would talk. Just that kind of communication with on-air personality that he actually talked back to, you don't see that anymore.
Right.
You don't hear it anymore. And we were tasked with the ability to talk on the radio
and actually there. communicate
with
with
the people listening. You had to. That was required.
Right.
You had to. And that's gone nowadays. Radio is entirely different. Entirely different. And it's a shame. I told you that before.
And after 40 years, this is a completely different animal for me, talk radio. But I'm having a great time. Yeah. Thank you for coming out.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Man, I look forward to it. We're going to have to do it again.
Where did I pick my check up at? Same place as last time?
Same place as last time. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.